The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie where a man is given a choice between $750 million or Liza Minnelli and has a hard time deciding?
The movie about an alcoholic multimillionaire playboy who has to grow and change and by the end becomes an alcoholic millionaire playboy.
The movie where Dudley Moore is American, Liza Minnelli is beautiful, rich people are awesome heroes, and I guess people say hello when they leave and goodbye when they enter a room. This is a strange movie, people.
This is Arthur on Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Hey, blockheads, welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast that's counting down the top grossing movies of the 1980s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
Welcome back. We are down to one 1981 classic comedy hit.
Arthur. With the good old household name Dudley Moore.
Dudley Moore, who nobody remembers, but was for a time a huge star.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And I feel like people remember Dudley Moore as like a funny character in like Tiny Toons. Like in one of those episodes of like all the stars and stuff.
Sure.
Making fun of him.
Yeah.
Or Simpsons.
Sure,
like, stuff like that, yeah. Liza Minnelli, also household name.
Or, let me rephrase that. Dudley Moore, remembered by your parents.
Yeah, exactly.
As a comic icon, yes.
Somebody that you're supposed to know about.
Remembered by Steven Spielberg as a comic icon.
So in 1981, this movie brought in $95,461,000.
Yeah, we're closing in on that $100 million mark.
1981. That's 1981. Early in the 80s, this movie almost brought in $100 million.
Movie older than I am. Yeah. This is 81 again. 81.
This movie was nominated for 4 Academy Awards.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know when the Academy voters stopped watching comedies, but I'm guessing it's immediately following this movie.
Yeah, because this is a straight, like, kind of slapsticky comedy.
This is very much a comedy.
It's not a dramatic comedy. It's got dramatic moments.
It's
got
a few dramatic moments, but if you compare
even
this,
those,
if you compare this to like your average like Wes Anderson movie, this is not a dramatic comedy in any way.
Oh no, no way! And still nominated one best supporting actor.
And
best song, which is a terrible fucking song.
It's not a great song, but I mean the best supporting actor. He insults a lot of people. I mean, he is on fire. He is roasting motherfuckers left and right.
Yeah, he also was around for a long time. He's one of those guys. He put his dues in.
Yeah, exactly.
He had been an actor for fucking like 40 years. So you
got
to
pay your dues if you want to sing the Oscar not blues, the winning thing that wins.
The win non blues that you said.
Yep, that's what I said.
Yep, if you want to win those.
If you want to win.
That's what you need to do.
It's famous. I mean, everyone knows that the Oscar is also known as Old Blue. Because of the blue coloring of the Oscar that we all know about. Very famous blue statue.
I thought it was because it was blue balls.
That might be it because you get so much blue balls just waiting for them to announce that award.
Yeah,
but it takes forever.
You ever seen that split second after they say they announce the winner and like they open up the frame? You know what I mean? They fill the frame with that person.
Yeah.
But you get that split second of everybody being disappointed around him.
Yep.
It's pretty golden.
That is the best moment.
Yeah, that is. That is the best moment. You're always like somebody's going to rip off a fucking speech out of their shirt. Like,
yeah.
Just rip it into pieces and throw it on the ground. Which I feel like I would be petty.
See, I feel like I would go into the situation just expecting to lose.
I think everybody does.
Yeah.
Not me, though.
I mean, at the back of your mind, though, you're probably also hoping.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you write a speech, you practice it. And you're like, I don't want to get my hopes up.
But you still do.
You get your hopes up.
It's like when you buy a lottery ticket. At the back of your mind, you're like, I'm going to fucking win the lottery.
Yeah, like I can't wait to win this lottery. Yeah. Again, it's gonna be amazing. I don't buy lottery tickets to actually win. I just buy them to come up with shit in my head that I would do
exactly
with that money. So you get once that, I win,
like, you get like 2 days of being like, oh, I'm gonna buy this yacht and live in this condo. Yeah, in New York,
be
like,
it's gonna be great. First thing I'm gonna do is
buy
this.
A fucking island.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only reason I buy it, just to make myself feel good about that. I'm not expecting to win.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't.
Same thing with the Oscar, and it's blue balls.
It's like it's Vegas when you go to my dad always told me. When you go to Vegas, never gamble more than you can lose.
No, you gamble all of it.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I ignored his advice completely.
Much as you possibly can.
That is why I did spend 2.5 years as a Las Vegas. I like to call it performer. Other people called it prostitute, but you know, I like to call it performer.
You were performing something.
Yeah, I was.
You're performing certain acts.
I was honing my acting chops. You know, I
feel
there
were chops.
Was,
all right,
they were okay. There was.
No, it's a dark time.
It was not a pleasant time, but I feel like if Harvey Weinstein has taught us anything, it's that those skills are needed if you want to get ahead in Hollywood.
Yeah, if you want to part in Lord of the Rings, exactly. You have to use those skills.
You got to use those skills.
So Steve Gordon directs this movie.
Stevie Gordon, what a career.
Yeah. What a you know Steve Gordon from directing Arthur, first of all. And then that's it.
That is exactly it. Now, we shouldn't make fun because this is actually super tragic. He died a year later.
Yeah. So this movie is a huge fucking hit. It's
a huge
hit.
Fucking hit.
It is still on like the list of the 1,000 best comedies or some shit. AFI still has that up.
But even, I mean, put that aside because in terms of his career, right? So this is a guy that did a couple TV things, did some shorts, whatever. Makes his debut feature both as a writer and a director.
He did 5 episodes of Good Time Harry.
And forget about the fact that this movie was critically lauded. This was a huge hit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oscar nominated, huge fucking hit, dies one fucking year later.
Never gets a chance to follow up. Never gets a chance really to even probably wallow in the success.
No.
Or maybe he wallowed too hard.
Maybe we didn't look farther into his death.
That seems like that would be way too much work, and we do not like to prepare for this podcast.
No, again, we just ask Siri questions.
Yeah, we drink and we make shit up. We're not even Tyrion level. We just drink and make shit up.
I do kind of wish that we were really wasted for this one
because of the appropriate.
Because of him.
Yeah.
So the movie starts with him. Fucking way wasted.
Oh, really bad.
He's got a couple scenes. It's a rough start.
It is a rough start. And you mentioned while we were watching it, would this be funnier if Rodney Dangerfield was saying these
because
lines?
It's all like these one-liners. It's a like lot these of one-liners. Fast one-liners. But also,
and nobody's better at one-liners than
Rodney
Dangerfield.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's got the best reaction, the best look on his face.
Yeah, the best timing, the best delivery.
I think Dudley Moore is betrayed by him laughing at his own fucking jokes the hardest.
That's super part of it. But also, that goes in. And I don't blame Dudley Moore for this.
No.
Because that's the character.
Yeah, that's what a drunk, like, that
exactly
level
because
of drunk.
He's playing a super drunk, and that's what I feel like. Yeah, obviously Dangerfield would be better because it's Dangerfield, but just in terms of like, it really comes down to the point that everyone, at least you and me, and I assume most of this audience that is listening to this, you've been around people that are just fucking gone.
Yeah, like blackout drunk. Yeah.
It's not funny.
No, we've been around each other when we sad. Each other are blackout.
Yeah.
It is, and it's here's the thing though, it's the movie starts off with him super fucking drunk and telling all these stupid fucking jokes and then immediately laughing at them and shit. Yeah. So it's a little bit of a rough
start. And
some
of them are good jokes.
Yeah.
Some of them are legitimately good jokes.
He hits a couple of notes.
Yeah.
Other than that though, I hadn't seen this in forever, but even when I saw it was like way back on fucking TV. But like when we were watching it right now, I was like, if he's going to do this a whole movie,
it's going to be tar.
I'm not on board with that. But
luckily, it's not.
Luckily, again, very charming guy, sober.
Yes.
And it's, you know, rightly so, very obnoxious, drunk.
Yeah.
And even though he gets some really good jokes in there.
Yeah.
It's just because he's a funny guy all around.
Exactly. Very realistic. If you've known anybody to get drunk, like, I think, again, we've been around each other drunk.
Yeah, we've been each other very drunk.
And, yeah, it's funny, but also sad.
Yeah. I mean, not me. I'm
no,
living it up.
Yeah, you're just living the dream.
Life is great.
Yes. Not running away from our problems.
No. I don't.
No, there's medicating. No reason for us to try and forget the heartbreak and desolation left in our wake.
I like the taste of Jethro T. Boots whiskey.
Said nobody
ever. Flavor the flavor is the reason why I buy that whiskey.
That's right. That is exactly the reason why we've got some Ten High.
That's a Canadian club.
God. Canadian Mist.
That's why we've drank those, because we like the taste of them.
You can't even say it with a straight face.
Anyway,
don't drink garbage whiskey, people.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, it's better than dealing with your problems. I guess.
Yes, obviously, it's better than feeling emotions or dealing with your problems straight on.
Yeah,
or,
I'm not doing that. Fuck that shit.
Like, no. I mean, it's better than going to work, obviously. Just get drunk in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. Start off drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
Then your day is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
All the way through. Until about
1 o'clock and you sober up at work and you're like, God damn, this sucks. Yeah.
But then, you do have. They're looking forward to being drunk immediately after you get out of work.
That's true. Yeah. So you just pound some coffee and some aspirin and just try and ride that last 4 hours till you can get home and drink again.
And then get as drunk as you possibly can.
Yeah.
So the movie has a couple of things in it that I think didn't age well. Number one is that rough start.
Let's talk about this, because I think I like this movie more than you, because I thought it was pretty funny and pretty charming. And
it is. I think so. I mean, it is.
I didn't think it aged badly.
You think it still holds up?
I think it still holds up. But what? Because there was nothing in the movie. I mean, obviously, it is in a time before like cell phones or whatever the fuck, computers and shit like that.
Yeah.
But in terms of like, there was nothing that stood out to me as like, well, that wouldn't happen in 2018.
No, that's true. I mean,
is there any specific examples you can give of stuff that you don't think aged well?
Absolutely not.
Okay, great. I'm glad I brought it up.
maybe it's the fact that Dudley Moore became kind of a big joke after this movie.
That's true.
And so it's like a cliche.
It is weird to me because, yeah, Dudley Moore is one of those guys that I feel very disconnected from in a way that I... Like, even people older than him, like the Marx Brothers, I still think of as like comic geniuses, right?
Yeah,
Charlie Chaplin,
funny.
Comic genius. Obviously, the people, this movie is 81.
Jerry Lewis.
Sure, Jerry Lewis, yeah.
The bellboy and stuff.
Like Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
But like 81, and even 10 was, I think, 78 or 79.
Yeah, a couple years
ago. And when I think of like late 70s, early 80s, I'm thinking Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray.
Not Dudley
like
Moore. Yeah.
John Belushi, all these people that... In my generation time, we're still like fucking like those are the dudes, right?
They're young, hip, kind of, Dudley Moore is not, I think he himself became a caricature of himself. So
that might be it.
Watching it now, I'm like,
And he is older than all of those guys. He didn't do as much afterwards to like keep his, I guess, legacy going.
Yeah, that's all kind of he did.
Yeah.
He was just like playing the drunk.
I mean, he did a lot before that too. I mean, he did a lot of British television. He did the original Bedazzled, which my father actually sent me a text about a week ago. Saying he just watched the original Bedazzled and it was great. So I haven't seen it yet, but
original
my
Bedazzled.
My father gives you the recommendation of watching the original Bedazzled.
Original Dudley Moore Bedazzled.
In place of us doing recommendations, because we don't do that anymore.
Yeah, not anymore.
Yeah.
He also did some movies with Peter Cook.
And
they would do like kind of like an Abbott and Costello type of thing. But
including Bedazzled. Peter Cook, you will remember, of course, from The Princess Bride.
Yeah, he's the guy that marries him. Marriage. He's that guy.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. So Dudley Moore already, you know, like kind of famous-y, but then he becomes Arthur.
This was maybe the last of his like huge roles.
Yeah. I mean, there was a sequel.
There was, but Arthur that was not a like, big thing.
Nobody liked that shit. That also took 7 years to fucking come out. So it was, I feel
that,
like...
That is like a desperation sequel.
Yeah, that's Dudley Moore being like, I'm not doing that. And then he's like, all right, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'm not relevant anymore. Yeah.
He's like, I'm not doing that. I'm doing great. I'm a huge movie star. And then 7 years
later... Oscar nominated.
Yeah, 7 years later, it's like...
All right, fuck it. Like, I'll do a sequel. Whatever. Yeah, let's just pay me money.
Whatever. Liza's on board. Yeah, whatever. So that's the Liza that's first Minnelli. Problem. Second problem with this movie. Liza Minnelli. So, female Ringo star Liza Minnelli is the fucking female, like, the romantic lead in this.
And look, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover.
But goddamn.
This book is weird looking. It's a weird looking book. Yeah,
it's a weird bird human hybrid of a book.
Look, I know you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but if you see the Necronomicon, yeah. And it's got a human face and
you're like, gross. Like,
yeah, you trust your instincts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, so what we're saying is Liza Minnelli is a Necronomicon of people. Of people. All right. So she's a very talented
one. Person.
She's funny in this.
From what I hear, very nice.
Also an amazing singer. She very does not good singer, sing in this.
Does not sing. And it's really not even her fault. This is just miscasting because...
It is.
There's
a line in there. If you take that line out, I think.
If this movie is... Skirt Chaser. If this movie is like, let's say like it's a Tony Stark level, like I just bang hot chicks.
Yeah, that's all I do. All hot
and then
models.
He meets this kind of, I won't even say average, but yeah. He meets this Liza Minnelli looking person, but has a lot of spunk and character and is interesting.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm not romantically interested, but like,
you fascinate
funny.
Me.
Yeah, exactly.
But this movie, she catches his eye in part because she's different, but also because she's supposed to be this like,
he's like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And then you read about the other women that were up for the role.
Oh, yeah. So Carrie Fisher.
Now, again, 1981 Carrie Fisher. So this is
prime.
This is right in between Empire and Return of the Jedi. Yeah. Which, yeah, those were like the three best Carrie Fisher years of all time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she was also very high in coke and drunk.
Oh, so much coke. Yeah.
But still, though. Carrie Fisher, Deborah Winger, Mia Farrow, Farrah Fawcett.
Farrah Fawcett right off of fucking Charlie's Angels. Goldie Hawn. Mia Farrow, very beautiful. Goldie Hawn, yes.
Diane Keaton was fucking gorgeous in 1981. Jessica Lange, which is kind of interesting. She's
a little older, but a little older. Very, very attractive.
Susan Sarandon.
Susan Sarandon, very
Sybil
beautiful.
Sybil Shepherd.
Yeah.
It's Meryl Streep, Gilda Radner, Bette Midler. Yeah. All those, they go with Liza Minnelli. And a part where you don't have to sing.
Yeah.
You go with Liza Minnelli. Even if that, like you said, he's kind of like fascinated by her and stuff. And then she sings a song and he's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's the most beautiful song I've ever heard.
Yeah. No.
Did that. No. He sees her stealing a tie and he's like, wow, did you see that girl? Like, she's stealing a tie, but she's beautiful and all this stuff. And we were like, no, she's not.
No.
She is not. That is Gonzo. And Gonzo from the Muppets and fucking Flesh.
And all she wants to do is fuck chickens. So.
Yeah. That whole opening thing, he picks up a hooker, which is cool.
Do we ever see Gonzo fuck a chicken?
No, but clearly he's fucking chicken. He's not fucking one chicken. He's fucking all the chickens.
It's like the whole hen house.
He's got a bottom chicken. He's got a main chicken.
Yeah.
That I can't remember her name now, but
it's a weird thing.
He's got the
like,
one chicken that he named.
It's a weird thing to throw into a kid's movie.
The
like,
restaurant.
Show. Yeah.
It's you get free. It's like free range. It's when
free
it's
range just, chickens.
It's yeah. There you go. When it's just a multitude of animals.
Yeah. No one knows. And no one even knows what Gonzo was.
No,
so
he was
he's like
an
alien, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So he's
great.
He's in love with the fucking chicken. Why not?
Loves Gonzo.
Yeah.
He's his third favorite Muppet, I think.
Really behind Knock. Kermit and Fozzie?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, good.
You?
You know what? I would put Gonzo over Fozzie, I think.
Yeah, that's fair.
I do like Fozzie quite a bit.
I do like the rat, too. The rat is
Rizzo.
Rizzo's pretty fucking great.
What up, Pierre, dude? The little prawn.
Oh, he's good, too, actually. He's very good.
What was Scooter?
Actually, you know what? And I do love... I'm totally spacing on the old guys' names. But yeah, those guys were great too.
They were fucking great. They were the fucking like the butlers in this. Like the butlers.
Oh yeah,
in this.
The butler in this is you're right. The butler in this is exactly those guys because every line for the first I don't know hour of the movie is just him roasting people.
Oh my God,
he's
so
roasting
good.
The Dudley Moore. He's roasting Liza Minnelli. He's roasting the whore Dudley Moore picks up. So yeah, we'll jump back. Dudley Moore picks up a whore in the first scene.
Picks up a hooker with a lot of hero. Stupid jokes.
This is our hero. This is the guy we're behind. We're rooting for him.
He takes her to a very upscale restaurant where everybody's like, "You're a fucking drunk piece of shit.
You're falling down drunk.
Leave us alone."
Yeah, including his aunt and uncle.
Yeah, I
do need to rewind real quick. Our hero of this movie is a guy who is in his mid-40s. Has never worked a day in his life.
Worth almost a billion dollars.
Is a fall down alcoholic drunk.
Yes.
And picking up hookers. So, you know.
You're on board.
You're totally on board with liking this guy, I guess.
Everybody. He also makes some crazy. I think the first joke that I thought was a really, really good joke was he is like, "Why are you a hooker?" Oh, she's like, "Do you want to know why I'm a hooker?" And he's like, "Yeah." And she's like, my mom died at 6. And he's like, "Oh, don't they know what they do to the kids when they die?" Like, he's making kind of a joke about her mom dying. And then he's like, she's like, "And then my dad raped me when I was 12. And then he's like, "Oh, so you had a pretty okay 6 years in there."
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, that's really fucking good. That is rough. That's vicious.
Yeah.
But still.
No, he has some good one-liners throughout that sequence.
And then, but we do get just a glimpse in that first scene in the restaurant when he's like, he stops everything for a second. He's like, "Do you like me?" And she's like, "Yeah, you're cute." And he's like, "Yeah, I know that. But do you like me? Like me?" And then you get the sense of like, oh, he just needs.
Oh, he's super lonely. Yeah. One of his first lines, I don't know if it's the exact first, where the hookers ask him what he wants. And he's just like, "I want a stranger who loves me."
Yeah, yeah. Like, I want somebody to love me for tonight or something like that. Yeah.
It's not, he has no.
He has nobody.
He has nobody. Yeah, exactly.
He's got Susan who's supposed to marry.
But. Right. Well, but that doesn't count. I mean, he ends up, I mean, he realizes at some point that his butler, his manservant,
Hobson,
has loved him the whole time.
Yeah. And so the next morning, he wakes up and then Hobson comes in. And just shreds his fucking hooker.
Shreds.
He is just fucking. She says hi, and he's like, "Oh, it looks like you got remember some that vocabulary.
Scene in Iron Man where Gwyneth Paltrow comes in and kind of is like mean to the reporter that Tony Stark just left with."
Yeah, it's exactly that.
It's like that, but like 100 times meaner.
Yeah, where she's like, "Oh, it's my job to take out the trash." Like that, but it's a lot. It's a lot meaner and nonstop
and a lot more
too.
English.
Yeah, so it's super prim and proper.
Yeah.
And yeah, he is nonstop with that shit. Like, and then Arthur doesn't care. He loves him.
No,
he goes and he takes a bath and he says some stupid shit and he hits him in the back of the head.
Yeah, it's all. He hits him several times. It's pretty great.
Yeah, he smacks him around. It's pretty awesome. And then he takes a bath with a top hat on. Who's ever heard of such a thing?
Very silly.
Ridiculous.
Which I feel like
rich
that,
people.
Yeah, right? I also feel like that's one of the reasons that I like didn't want to necessarily watch this movie is because that's like the scene
again.
That's caricature. Like, well, yeah, exactly. Like that's the level of comedy I thought it was just like, oh, he's taking a bath with a hat on.
Yeah. And
hilarious.
The first 5 minutes. Yeah. I was like, yeah, that's what this is going to be.
Yeah. But it's actually pretty funny. A lot of his lines are very humorous.
Yeah. And again, once he sobers up, very charming, funny guy.
Yeah.
True to form.
And he has a lot of really good lines. Even later on when Hobson is like, "You know, you look different." He's like,
You've never
seen me sober. Yeah. Good line.
So then him and Hobson. Well, no, he has to go see his dad.
Yeah, he hates his dad, so he gets fucking wasted.
He gets wasted before he goes to see his dad. Hobson is talking shit to him the whole fucking time.
Whole time.
Calling him a little kid and shit and like all this stuff. And then he goes in there and his dad's like, "Hey, look, you're all over the newspaper about being drunk and shit. So we've decided you're going to marry Susan." We have not seen Susan. "You're going to marry Susan, or we're cutting you off." And he's like, "Are you cutting me from a family?" And he's like, "No, I'm cutting you from the fucking money." And he's like, "Oh, Susan sounds pretty good."
Yeah.
$750 million.
Yeah. Well,
sounds pretty good. Yeah.
Again, good funny delivery on that too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And they give him the ring and stuff and they say like the invitations are going out tonight. So there in lies is the first problem right there.
Yeah.
Him and Hobson go to buy fucking shirts. He does not give a fuck about the shirts.
No, he's just buying a shit ton for whatever reason. Another little funny dig where he orders 3 dozen shirts and he's like, "Hobson, I really hate my father." He's like, "Order 4 dozen.
Yeah, like, and he's like, "All right, 4 dozen.
Just because he's, you know, he's like, he's a funny guy.
Yeah, Hobson's fucking great in this.
Yeah.
He wins Best Supporting Actor
for this. Best Supporting Actor.
And jumping ahead a little bit, but...
It's because...
Because he dies.
Because he dies, yeah.
So they see Liza Minnelli stealing a tie in the same
and
front
Dudley
store.
Moore is enchanted.
Which, my God.
And he even says, like, how beautiful she is.
Yeah, he's like, did you see that? That girl, a beautiful girl like that. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Stealing and stuff like that. And we were like, nope, not buying it.
Nope.
I am not
buying
again,
it. I feel like in the screenplay, you're reading that and you're like, oh, of course.
Yeah, it's going to be a hot chick.
Yeah, but no, it's
that makes sense. Liza you fall Minnelli. In love. First, yeah. There's a whole thing about him asking a fucking florist, how do you know if it's love at first sight?
Yeah.
And I was like, there is no such thing as Liza Minnelli love at first sight.
No.
Because it took me.
No, the only way you love Liza Minnelli is by, like, she has a great personality and you know her for like 3 years.
Yeah. Or like we said. She's the stage work, so you see her from fucking 25 meters
away.
Yeah,
if you're going to a Broadway show and you're in the balcony.
Yeah, and you're like, wow, you're like, she's amazing.
Yeah.
Look at that. No, it took me like 25 minutes to get used to her face.
Yeah.
In this. Again, you know, I don't judge a book by its cover, but damn, she's hard to look at.
Look, I mean, I know you're all going to send hate mail because we're fucking superficial dudes, but... Yeah.
And we have people who listen to this.
Yep.
That send us mail.
That send us hate mail. And love mail.
Yeah. No, she's a hard fucking
person to look at. Yeah.
She is not attractive. I'm sorry, but I mean, she's just fucking weird looking.
Look, I'm not disagreeing.
The personality is there. She's nice. She's funny. She actually is pretty funny in this movie.
Yeah.
And she carries herself with a certain amount of charisma. And she
has some good one-liners and
she
stuff.
Does some
good, yeah.
And she's got her shit together,
I mean,
which goes a long way.
Her dad's kind of the funniest of the group.
That's
but
true.
Her dad's really great.
She loves her dad. You'll recognize him from fucking Seinfeld. He's Seinfeld's dad.
Yeah.
He's
great playing dads.
Yeah.
He's a great dad.
He's from the 1981 all the way till he fucking died.
Like 98 or whatever.
Yeah. I think it was like 98 or 99 that he died.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a great fucking dad.
Yep.
But yeah, I get it. She's... funny, like a fun, crazy chick, but nope. I did not buy that line when he's like, and she's beautiful too.
Yeah.
But she has a
great
scene.
I mean, and it is a little bit like that manic pixie dream girl kind of quality to her in that she's like the cog in the wheel, right? Like she's like this crazy, like, oh, she's so different. But again, I feel like for that, you really need someone super cute and hot. And
yeah, you need like an Amanda Siegfried style.
Sure, like Zooey Deschanel.
Zooey Deschanel,
you know, that
crap.
Like, yeah.
Not that.
Natalie Portman in Garden State, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly, yeah. So, but anyway, she gets caught stealing the tie. The security guard follows her all the way out.
This is actually a really great scene.
It is. She makes a huge fucking, like, a huge deal.
She's just trying anything
to
get out of it. Yeah.
People are crowding around. She's like, get the police. This man is harassing me and all this stuff. Dudley Moore shows up and he's like, oh, hey, sweetheart. Like, she's with me. I was supposed to buy the tie. And then she goes along with it. And she's like, oh, you didn't pay for the tie? And he's like, oh, no, you don't, like, all this stuff. And the security guard is like, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry, Arthur. Like, I can't remember his last name now.
Yeah.
But I'm very sorry, sir. Like, I didn't know that. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, like, she's with me. And then he gives her, like, a super hard kiss.
Yeah.
Which is a good move.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah. Good move on his part.
I mean, it's definitely going to get him sued in today.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But at that time, like, she's...
Also, she's in trouble.
Up shit creek, exactly. So she can't go...
You can't say, I don't know him, because then he'll be like, arrest her.
Yeah.
I'm worth $750 million. Arrest her. And they will do that in a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then they have this cool little conversation where it's a cool little like snapping back and forth.
Yeah.
Type of deal.
She can keep up with him.
Yeah, she can. Again, if he had never said that she was super hot.
Yeah.
Then he's like, there's something about this chick, no matter what she looks like. But Liza Minnelli again.
Yeah. Hard to look at.
Yeah. So.
Weird haircut too.
Yeah. It's a very weird haircut. Makes her head look weird and penis-y, like penis shape.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. It's not good. It's not good.
No.
Yeah, so he sends her home, gets her phone number.
Yep, gets her address.
Yeah, sends to make sure that the driver knows where she lives and all that stuff. And then after that, he has some more things about him. He has qualms about getting married.
Sure.
Yeah. They go out on a date, right?
Well, they go on a date, have a great time. go to an arcade.
He slums it up. They go to an arcade.
Yeah, exactly. He slums. There's a weird sequence in the arcade where there's just this weird dude staring at them for the entire time they're playing. Yeah, and that never pays off.
No, I thought it was going
to
pay off.
Yeah, I kept expecting something to happen. It's just like, no, there's just a weird fucking creepy dude
there. He looked like a longshoreman, too. Like, he was like a weird fucking looking dude. And he's playing an awesome game with a motorized bear that he just shoots.
Yeah.
And the bear, like, turns around, like that old school duck thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it just turns around and spins around and shit, and he just keeps shooting at it. Then he takes her home. It's kind of a sweet, like, little...
Yeah, it's a nice little date. Nice little date.
Not bad. And then after that, he
goes to meet Susan.
He goes to... But on the way...
Well, he goes to meet Susan's dad.
Yeah, on the way over to do that, he gets shit-faced drunk driving a car.
He tells Bitterman.
Bitterman, who's a chauffeur.
Or Bitterman? Bitterman? Whatever.
Bitterman,
yes. He tells him, like, no, I got this.
I'm driving myself.
And you're like, okay, well, he has seemed like he's sobered up a little bit these last few sequences we've seen him
in. He's been sober the whole time.
Yeah, he's okay, maybe. And then immediately he's just downing a fucking bottle of scotch while driving a
Rolls
convertible.
Royce,
yeah.
And then, yeah, he is just nonstop. And it's a far drive. He's going, like, to the Hamptons or some shit.
And then he gets there, and he is gone.
He also drives back, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He is shit-faced drunk by the time he pulls up. And then it's more of, the funny
the
jokes.
The one-liner, yeah.
A lot of the jokes, this guy. All jokes, this guy.
He's a lot of jokes. He gets in there, and you see one of the best faces, which is their butler.
Their butler, yeah.
Who has the biggest eyebrows.
Oh, man. And, like, mutton chops.
Mutton chops and just eyebrows that...
They're just, like, a foot out of his face.
Exactly.
They're so fucking bushy.
It's if you shaved Robin Williams and put all of his hair...
Just on his eyebrows.
Onto his eyebrows.
I feel like if you shave Robin Williams, it would be like that old Looney Tunes monster who is just hair.
Just nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing after that. I mean, maybe not now, since he's been dead.
Sad.
Oh, I made myself sad.
You're sad, yeah.
But he goes to this house, a super multimillionaire house. So, okay. He's already fallen for Liza Minnelli.
Oh, yeah.
He knows if he gives up Susan...
No money.
So after this sequence with the dad, where he tells a lot of jokes, some good jokes in there.
Yeah, there's some good ones.
The dad threatens to kill him.
There's some good stuff with the moose.
Yeah, there is some good stuff with the moose. Dad threatens to kill him. He goes to see his grandmother, right?
He does.
Geraldine Fitzgerald. He goes to see her, and he's like, I don't really want to marry Susan. And she's like, you have to, or you lose all the money. And then she tells him one of the most realistic lines in this, which is, marry her and cheat.
Yeah.
Why not? Super rich.
You're rich.
We all do that. Like, she's like, she might as well tell him, like, I used to fuck the pool boy.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Like,
your grandfather and I? No, like, we had sex just for procreation.
Yeah, everything else is fun. Like, you just have to marry for show.
Exactly. And I fucked so many butlers, so many pool boys.
Yeah, and that's what he probably should have done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead, he does a... Getting drunk to meet the dad, very realistic in that he doesn't want to get married.
Sure.
So what does he do? He fucking gets drunk.
Now, do you think... All right, so quick question. Is he getting drunk because he's nervous and just like is kind of doesn't know what to do about the situation? Or is he getting drunk in a way hoping that his drunkenness will ruin the marriage?
Oh, he's like self-sabotaging.
And get him out of it. Yeah.
I feel like he is notorious for being that drunk, so I don't think there's any ruin.
Maybe, or third option, he has serious problems.
He has a serious alcoholism.
There's a lot of problems going on. Like a true fucking alky.
He's like, I don't want to fucking deal with this. I don't want to get married to this person. I don't want to meet a dad.
Yeah.
So on the way there, I'm going to drink this bottle of scotch.
Yeah. When life gets you down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why I really like Flight, the Denzel Washington
exactly.
movie.
Exactly, that's good.
Very, very realistic. He buys a fucking bottle of vodka and he opens it in the parking lot and takes like a big swig out of it just to make it through the fucking day.
Yep. And when life gets me down, I also turn our sponsors.
Ah, that was pretty good.
Thank you. A first sponsor up, we're talking about alcohol. We're talking about that good craft beer.
Beer Geek Bakery takes craft beer and puts it into pastries, brownies, cookies, anything delicious that's sweet. She has events all over town.
That's right.
All over all the breweries around Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go and mention the podcast, you get a dollar off one of her full-size treats.
That's right. We had some delicious brownies made with orange some sort peel. Of orange. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. Very good.
Very well balanced. Delicious.
Yeah. Brownies. You got to follow Instagram. You got to follow Facebook. Find out about the events. Check out all the amazing, delicious, delectable treats.
Yeah. And then People's Choice Video for providing the movie for us to watch tonight.
That's right. People's Choice Video. Waukegan and Tucson represent with a video store of your very own.
Yeah. Good old 1990s style video store. All the old movies, all the new movies, toys, apparel, all that good
that's
stuff.
Right. Anything video games, adult yeah. films. It's we got it all.
From the, like I said, and daily specials.
Yeah.
You get some cheap shit.
That's
right.
You get
some new shit. Yeah. Get whatever you need.
Amazing stuff. Check it out.
Follow Facebook.
Yep. Yeah. And of course, follow us.
Yeah, I guess.
We're your good friends. We're great. Awesome.
We're okay.
We post shit.
We sure do. This movie also made me wish that I had $750 million.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you, maybe. If we had $750 million.
Okay, yes.
Would we hardcore just do that? Just be drunk all the fucking time and like be a kid?
I mean,
just a big drunken kid who cares not about fucking responsibilities in any way.
Probably.
Or would you like adult up a little bit?
I mean, I'd like to say that I would be an adult, but
like be like, I have this money, like I'm going to do this and this and
yeah,
this.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Or every night is just like drunken fucking. I feel like that's why Russell Brand was cast in the remake of this, right? 30 years later,
sure.
They make the remake of Russell Brand or male Amy Winehouse, as yeah. I like to fucking call him.
Sure.
Because, yeah, he has his own fucking alcoholic issues.
Demons, sure. Demons yeah.
But, yeah, but, like, yeah, I don't know. It's pretty tempting. What do you do with $150 million in New York? You get fucking shit-faced drunk.
That's true. I mean, you don't have to do anything.
Yeah. No, he doesn't.
And if my time being unemployed has taught me anything, when you don't have to do anything,
you
drink.
Yeah. You don't do anything but drink.
But
exactly.
Drink. You're like, well, it's noon, but I've got nothing to do today. Might as well have this six-pack of beer.
Yeah, I'm going to spend more money on beer.
Yeah.
Because I have no job.
Because I have no job. Got nothing to do.
Arthur, that's exactly what he does.
Yep.
I would feel like if I had $750 million, I would kill a couple of people.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Just see what you can get away with.
Yeah, why not? Maybe not even me. Just like figure out ways to, you know, randomly put hits on people.
Sure. Are you just getting a lot of traffic accidents and then buy your way out?
Again, that's why he gets super fucking drunk.
Because he doesn't care. What's going to happen?
No.
Nothing.
Other than death.
And again, keep in mind, $750 million, but this is...
1981.
Yeah, this is fucking 30 fucking 7 years ago?
37 years, almost 40
years ago.
This is almost
40 years ago. That is like...
Adjusted for inflation, that's $42 trillion.
That's right.
Yeah. He was the richest man alive. You know what's funny is that in the remake, he's still worth almost $1 billion.
Ooh, yeah, I'm
they
sure.
Didn't change
yeah, they
that.
Didn't change it. They should have. He yeah. should have been worth like $100 billion.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? Actually, now I'm going to pitch a remake of this movie where he becomes president.
Oh, so he's a piece of shit millionaire in New York.
Uh-huh.
Just a drunk...
Just a
drunk. Picking up hookers.
Kind of a piece. Yeah, just a piece of shit. Doesn't really add anything to society.
Yeah, everybody. You know, he's never worked a day in his life.
He's kind of a joke to other people that know him.
Yeah, he's a big caricature of himself.
Yeah, yeah. People make fun of him behind his back all the time.
Yeah, he's easy to make fun of because
sure.
he's so stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a man child. He wakes up to a choo-choo train.
Yeah. Has no idea what the world is like. Around
No. Him. Has no idea what normal people go through.
Picking up hookers, force kissing women.
Yeah, yeah. Force kissing women without their consent.
Yeah, exactly. And then he becomes president.
I mean, I know it's far-fetched.
Yeah, that could not
happen. I know you're thinking like, but come on, his hair, it's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing with the forcing himself on women, you wouldn't think that would go over well.
Nobody will vote for a man like that. No.
But he's super rich.
Yeah, which also, I know
you're thinking. And he wears a funny hat.
That's true. You know what you're thinking? That makes him less likable to average Americans.
No, not in your pitch for this movie.
And I know you're also thinking, well, I know he's rich, so he has the money for the campaign, but also, don't we not like rich people?
Yeah, I thought we didn't like rich people.
No, also, we love the rich people.
He's asking for a lot of donations.
He is.
Even though he's got the money.
Clearly afforded himself. Yeah.
I feel like it's a bit far-fetched.
Maybe
if it was like crazy out there, like a sci-fi movie.
Yeah. If it's like a post-apocalyptic, this is the person that led us into nuclear war that destroyed all of humanity kind
Morton
of movie.
Joe? Morton Joe type of deal?
Yeah.
Exactly. Morton Joe
if then. He's a Morton Joe, exactly.
Okay, so now I'm going to say it's a mix of a Morton Joe and Arthur become president.
Uh-huh. I mean, again, could never happen, obviously.
Very far-fetched. Yeah, very far-fetched. Would never happen. This is not real.
Yeah. But if it did,
yeah,
that could be if the sequel to this movie.
Exactly. Not Arthur 2 on the rocks.
It would be Arthur 2 White House Boogaloo.
Yeah, which is a great fucking name.
Which is a great fucking name.
Arthur 2 White House Boogaloo? He boogaloos through that whole fucking place.
He certainly does. I mean, he's not with Liza Minnelli anymore because he's married... I'm just going to pick a country at random. Let's say like a mail order Russian bride.
Of course.
And, you know, he has a very attractive daughter. Let's just say, because we need the hot
and,
young.
And the reason why we know that she's attractive is because he constantly reminds us that she's very attractive.
I mean, who can blame him?
Yeah. I mean, she's very hot.
I mean, it's not, you know, he just wants you to know.
Yeah. He's very proud of the fact.
Very proud of the fact that she's incredibly fuckable. Yeah.
He's like, come on, guys. You know, you've seen this.
I mean, high five, right?
Yeah. That is not the world that we live in.
Thankfully, it's not.
That is bizarro world.
Yeah, bizarro world again.
Yeah, we.
Where you say hello when you leave and goodbye when you enter.
Yeah. Everybody loves Arthur in this fucking movie. Despite
everybody
the fact that he's a piece of
Arthur.
Shit.
Yeah. Why does everybody love... Even his aunt and uncle are just like, you're the best, but talk to us when you're sober. Like,
yeah,
you're clearly not the best.
Yeah. Also, don't encourage him, for the love of God.
I mean, I can kind of understand why the servants all like him, because he is paying them ungodly
amounts of money. Yeah, exactly.
So they kind of have to pretend.
Because really, his dad doesn't like him.
No, his dad clearly does not like him.
Yeah. And I mean, it's endearing that fucking Hobson like loves him. But he also treats him like shit. Like, yeah. Hobson is very mean to him.
Hobson is very mean to him. But I guess
which is very funny.
It's very funny, and I guess he's the only one that's also kind of honest with him.
Yeah.
Where he's like, you're being a fucking asshat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Don't be that idiot. Don't be a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what...
He's the one. Exactly. So, and he's also the one. So he goes, he gets engaged with old Jane.
Susan,
whatever the fuck.
Yeah, and she's just a wasp. You know, she's just like...
Yeah,
a,
it doesn't matter.
So then that night, he gets super fucking drunk. Again,
Joe's over there. Yeah.
True to character and true to an alcoholic.
Yep.
He shows up super fucking drunk to Liza's
house.
I've
never done that.
Yeah.
You've never done that. We have
never done that. But we're not alcoholics, so that's
enough. That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point.
We're upsetting members of society.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up to this fucking chick that he took on one date... Because he does not like where he is in life. He shows up super fucking drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Again, some funny jokes in there with the neighbor.
Sure. Yeah. Very funny.
Shows up a lot of really funny jokes with Liza Minnelli's dad.
Yeah.
But it really is.
Really kinda, wants that money.
It's a very sad situation, really.
Yeah.
It's a lot of one-liners to polish over how sad it is that he decided on the night that he gets engaged.
That he got super drunk and went to his mistress's house and was like, I love you. Yeah. I'm not happy with my life.
Get the fuck out. And he's like, here's $100,000 for no reason because it's all I know.
Yep.
Yeah. Like it's, I mean, there's that.
Yeah.
The movie has that. It has some saving graces in it.
No, it's a good movie.
It is a pretty good movie. Yeah.
But so that happens. And then... He eventually decides, like, I've got to just, you know, marry this girl and do this thing.
Because he can't get rid of the money. He doesn't want to lose the money.
Well, and who would?
Yeah, his alcoholism. He drinks very expensive scotch and he drinks like 2 bottles a day.
Yeah, that guy, just on alcohol alone.
At the very least, it's a couple of grand a day.
That guy probably spends more on alcohol a day than I make. So.
Oh, yeah.
Just alcohol.
He's drinking very good scotch.
Yeah, I'm sure. So but then Hobson again, because he loves him and he understands him and he is his real father.
Yeah.
He realizes that what he really needs is Liza Minnelli. So
for some reason,
I know. Again, but yeah. So he goes to her and is like, "Hey."
Oh, all the while though, he's doing some coughing.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's made abundantly clear
right away
that he is dying.
It's like, "Hey, Bitterman, where's Hobson?" He's like, "Oh, he's not feeling well." We're like, "Dying, dying. He's dying. He's gonna die."
Yeah. And then you go to him and he makes a joke about, "Yeah, I got a tumor." It's like he actually has a tumor.
Exactly.
He definitely actually has
and
a tumor.
Later, she's like. When he goes to talk to her, she's
like, "That cough doesn't sound good. Have you seen a doctor?"
He's like, "Oh, I've seen a doctor. The doctor's seen me.
Yeah.
Dying. The whole
clearly
time.
Dying.
But
yeah, so he tells her about their engagement parties. Like, you should go. Like, I know.
Which is a weird thing to do.
I
feel like he should tell her, like, go now before the engagement party.
Yeah, he should either tell her that or
don't
be like.
Don't show up at the engagement party.
Or he should be there and be like, "Hey, he's going to get married to this girl. So you down with being a mistress?" Because
then he's a good wingman.
Yeah.
He's the best. If I had a butler, that's what I would pay him a lot of money for, is to be my
wingman. Or alternatively, he goes to her and is like, "Hey, he's going to get married to this other rich girl, but I'm here."
Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm not getting married.
I may be old and dying, but zip.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Also, maybe uh-huh. not so much with Liza Minnelli. Uh-huh. But,
yeah, no, clearly yeah. not. But with just, he's an old man, so, you know. But again.
It's rough, guys.
Oh, man. We're really just nailing Liza.
I can't get behind it, man. Yeah. I can't. Even that scene where he shows up, she's clearly not wearing a bra.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not mention it. Because it's Liza Minnelli.
I mean, you did just mention it.
I mentioned it right now, but yeah. when
but not during.
It,
and usually you immediately call it out.
I am on top
out.
Of that. Yeah.
While we're watching movies, even not for the podcast, just
no, it's my mutant
random,
power.
Yeah.
I can pinpoint fucking nipple from
miles away. Miles away.
Yeah. No, this I was like, no, that's Mr. Minnelli. I can't.
Yeah. 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 It means nothing.
It means absolutely nothing to me. Is that her real name, Liza Minnelli?
I don't think so. No, it's definitely not, because neither her father or her mother's last name was Minnelli. Minnelli, so.
That's a weird last name, Minnelli.
Right?
Nah. Dudley Moore? Is that a real name?
I assume. Who changes their name to Dudley Moore?
Dudley? Was there a Dudley in Harry Potter?
Yes, definitely. Wasn't one of the fat kids Dudley?
Yeah, was it Dudley?
I'm pretty sure one of the fat kids was definitely Dudley.
Dudley. Yeah. What a British fucking... This is so the remake.
I take this back. Her dad's name was Minnelli.
Oh, okay.
He was Vincent Minnelli.
Oh, okay. Vincent Minnelli.
Yeah. Judy Garland, obviously the mother. Yeah. That's the one we all remember because, you know, Wizard of Oz and all that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah. And she was actually a very beautiful woman.
Yeah. And somehow, I don't know what happened.
Yeah. Sometimes it just happens, man. Chromosomes or whatever.
I assume Vincent Minnelli was a hideous monster of a human being.
Yeah. It was just a golem.
Yeah.
Yeah. A fucking hunchback
she
of
married,
Notre Dame.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He just crawled out of the shadows to impregnate her.
Quasimodo and yeah.
Yeah, because there's no way. Well, I mean, but you do see, I always see two ugly people making a hot person.
Sometimes that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe two. Well, Judy Garland is not ugly though. So
yeah, Judy Garland, attractive.
I wonder if all her life they were like, she looks like her dad, the poor thing.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
They were
right?
gonna make it, and then she became fucking huge.
Yeah, yeah.
I also understand why gay people love her, because they don't have to think about being attracted to her in any way.
Yeah, I was waiting to see where you would go with it, and yeah, no, you nailed it.
Delivered
you
nailed it. No, yeah. I mean, she was big with the musicals and all that stuff, right? It was Cabaret.
Cabaret?
Yeah. Man, or who do you cast instead of Liza Minnelli?
Pretty much any of those people we were talking about.
Like, yeah.
Like young Diane Lane, smoking hot.
Yeah.
Young Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
Farrah Fawcett.
Goldie Hawn.
I mean, Goldie Hawn. Come on now.
Do you cast anybody
I think
else
you go Goldie
for,
Hawn.
For Arthur?
So
there were some people for Arthur. There was some talk about George Segal, John Belushi.
I mean, the Belushi.
Yeah, young. I mean, he was young.
It's hard to go with.
Different movie.
Yeah. Very different movie.
James Caan. Interesting.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Little intense.
Al Pacino?
Wow. Yeah, again, super intense.
Yeah, that's very intense. Young Al, especially like. Young Al Pacino, like that time, like,
although
like Dog of the Afternoon.
Yeah, although I'm still imagining old Al Pacino in the role.
That's true, because
like 90s Al Pacino. Like 90s Al Pacino, just like,
hoo-ah!
Yeah, exactly. And just being super intense.
Yeah. What if what if he was blind the whole time? All right. So if it's Al Pacino as a blind guy,
okay,
playing Arthur, then the Liza Minnelli thing makes fucking sense to me.
No, that makes 100% sense. Yeah.
Yeah. But
if even it's Dudley Moore, but he's blind.
Yeah. Even if he would have been blind.
What if Dudley Moore was blind? Because let's cover the facts. The original hooker he picks up, not attractive.
Not attractive at all. And he sleeps with her.
And he pays her to sleep with her.
Yeah, he pays her a couple hundred bucks.
He's very drunk, but again, let's just keep in
mind.
But
even when he wakes up, he's not like, ah.
Yeah, exactly.
He's still like, hey, sweetie. Normal thing. Yeah.
Normal thing that you should be. He also then, the woman he gets engaged with, Susan. She's all right, I guess.
She's pretty hot, I think.
She's not bad. Yeah.
Comparatively.
But then Liza Minnelli.
So he's got a type.
He's blind. I'm going to say
he's blind. Yeah.
I mean, look.
He's like a Mr. Magoo level of blindness.
We never see him do any, like he, look, right. when we see him driving himself, he crashes into a lot of stuff.
That's true.
He ends up parking on the lawn.
Yeah.
When we see him at any other time, everyone's doing everything for him.
That's true.
He's always just collapsing into things.
So
maybe he's drunk, or maybe he is blind.
Right, yeah, I'm going to see. He is like Mr. Magoo level of blind. So if he was Mr. Magoo,
okay,
and
so
then you get into those things where he's accidentally like proposing to a refrigerator.
Definitely Mr. Magoo.
Yeah.
And this all now makes sense.
Yeah,
because
he gets on
the
boat
totally
thinking it's a car.
Exactly. He is just a hilarious blind man.
He accidentally steps on an elevator that takes him up to a construction site, and he's just walking around thinking he's in an opera house when it's really like just metal beams.
That's right.
Yeah, and he's talking to he's talking to poles and shit. He's like, also, he sounds exactly like Mr. Magoo when he's drunk.
That's true.
Holy shit. All right. We cracked it, I think.
We cracked this code.
Yeah. Steve Gordon.
Yeah. Steve Gordon.
Nominated
we got
for best original screenplay.
Yeah. Poor Steve Gordon.
Poor Steve Gordon.
Feel bad for you. So anyways, she goes to the party. Him and Holler. There's actually a really good little improv scene where she comes up with a reason why she's there when they get approached by his fiance. End of the day, Hobson dies.
Hobson is very sad. Also, it's a good scene where he shows up with all these presents.
It's a really good scene, and he sobers up, and he's like got his shit together, and he's just trying to be there for someone he loves and cares about. He buys him food. He buys him toys.
Cowboy hats.
He's really trying
guns,
to be there for him. He's sleeping in the bed next door.
Yeah.
And he eventually then dies. And you know what? I will give it up to the movie a little bit. There's no funeral scene.
No, it's a scene of him sitting in Hobson's bedroom.
Yeah.
And he has a chessboard and he makes a move.
Yeah.
On there.
And then it cuts to him in a bar.
He gets up and he locks the door.
Yeah.
Then it cuts to him wasted
in a bar. Very appropriate. Very different.
Hours before his wedding.
Oh, yeah. Hours before his wedding. I really did expect that scene of him just with an umbrella in the rain at a grave.
Yeah.
They didn't do it. I respect it.
You don't.
He's super drunk at a bar.
He's going to get married in the morning.
Yep. Decides, no, I got to go see Liza.
Yeah. So he finds Liza at the fucking coffee shop that
she's a waitress. Yeah.
Proposes to her. Yep. Falling down drunk proposes to her.
Yep. And the most romantic way to propose.
Yeah. She's like, yeah. That makes sense.
I feel like if I ever propose to a woman.
All right. You have to set it up the whole way. You have to set up a wedding with another woman. You have to have a wedding happening in half an hour because
I'll make that happen.
He says, I'm supposed to get married in 20 minutes, but I want you. Like, I want to get married.
Yeah.
You got to be fucking fall down drunk.
I feel like I can make all these things happen.
Yeah. And then the guy even says it. Remember, like, he's very drunk, but he sounds sincere.
Yeah.
You have to. And then she would say yes, obviously, because fallout drunk, more.
Well, but also, we're talking about me. I'm so charming.
Oh, yeah. Especially when you're fall down
especially
drunk.
Especially when I'm fall down drunk.
Yeah. You have to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then you have to bring her to your wedding.
Right. Exactly.
With this promise.
Where now you're more drunk than you were at the cafe.
It skips ahead to him showing up and he's way more
drunk. So it makes me think like on the way. So he
drank some more.
He kind of sobers up a little bit, goes to Liza. Kind of like is a little more coherent to be like, no, you're the one I love. Will you marry me?
I will give up all the money. He says, I will sober up.
Exactly. I will get my shit together. I will work all that stuff. All right, I just got to go break up with my fiance real quick. Let me get in this car. Oh, thank God there's a bottle of scotch in this car. Go, go, go.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he's like, you're coming behind me, right? Because we're not driving together.
We're not driving together, even though I told you to come with me.
So he shows up way more fucking drunk.
He's super wasted.
And then...
gets in a fight with the dad.
Yeah, the dad.
Well, not his dad. With Susan's dad.
Yeah, Susan's dad beats
the shit out of him.
And then Liza Minnelli shows up and he's like, oh my God, no, he loves me. And then he's like, he calls her a whore.
Yeah, exactly.
Or slut.
And then Dudley Moore's dad shows up and I was like, oh, fuck yeah, old dad man fight.
Yeah, dad fight would be fucking great.
And nope.
Doesn't happen.
Grandma shows up and is just like, I'm fucking...
Yeah, like, I'm super rich and you can't touch anything.
Yeah, just fucking go away or whatever. I don't know.
He comes out to the church and he's like, I think I need to go to the hospital. And then he falls down.
Yeah.
And then it's a good little cut forward when nobody's in the church anymore except for them.
Yep.
And he's just like, what am I going to do with no money? I guess I'll have to get a job and all that stuff. And then the grandma
sees him being willing to give up the money for love and is like, oh, I guess you have learned your lesson.
There's no way my grandson's going to be poor. Imagine the scandal.
Yeah. It would be
scandal.
How would it look to me?
Yeah. How would I look in the papers if my grandson is a poor alcoholic? No, he needs to be a rich alcoholic.
That's right.
So she's like, you can have the money. And he's like, I don't want the money. I want love with Liza Minnelli.
Again.
And then she's like, fine, have fun being poor. And he's like, all right, hold on a second. And then he comes back and he's like, I took the money.
Yeah.
And then he's like, let's get drunk. I took the fucking money.
He has a good little joke where he's like, I turn her down. And Liza Minnelli's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, for dinner tonight. I guess we're going to party together, you and me. I'm taking the money, obviously. I'm taking the goddamn money. That's the whole fucking point.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Is I almost married a strange person and didn't talk to you for a while because I wanted the money so bad.
Yeah.
So if I can have both of you, then I'm set. Also, I don't have to be sober anymore. Yeah. Then I'm more set.
Exactly.
He learns zero.
Again, a movie about an alcoholic.
That's, again,
that
aging
ends
not so
as
well.
An alcoholic.
Yeah. He starts off as a fucking irresponsible man-child, multimillionaire of an alcoholic. Ends exactly the same way, only with Liza Minnelli.
Yeah.
He can do that Foghorn Leghorn thing where he's like, I won. And then he sees Liza Minnelli. He's like, but I could have lost.
I mean, really though, because it feels like maybe he learned things along the way, right? Like he feels
that speech
like,
in the coffee.
Yeah, feels like maybe he learned that love
like,
was more important than money.
I will give up the money. I will give up the booze.
He'll give up the booze. Like I can work hard, but
at the end, he's like, I can have all of it.
Yeah, he just
I will
gets
keep
it
the
all.
Booze. I will keep the money, and I will get the chick. Why not?
Yeah.
If America loves one
it's
thing.
It's just like at the very end, he put in the cheat code and just...
Ah, fuck it. I'm back in. I'm back in this bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a weird ending. It definitely was a weird ending. And I think nowadays, you can't do that ending.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Nowadays, he has to really make a change.
Yeah, he has to change.
And something. I feel like earlier than that, like 3/4 of the way through the movie, he has to stop drinking.
No, but he has the relapse during the wedding.
Maybe.
That's acceptable.
Maybe.
But we get to that point where he's like, I'm just kidding, I'm so rich. And then it cuts to like a glass that you think is scotch getting filled.
Sure,
and then
sure.
He pulls back, orange juice.
Orange juice.
Yeah, he's sitting there, he's drinking orange juice, babies now.
And and here's the other thing, he's at his job.
Yeah, he's working now.
Working. Yeah.
Even if it's the same multimillion-dollar company,
yeah,
he's still working.
At it. Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly.
That's what you fucking end that movie today.
Again, so weird that you end this, he's not working. He's
he does
not
learn anything.
He's still drinking.
He can drop Liza Minnelli at the drop of a hat. He can leave her.
He should.
And he probably, if it wasn't for the sequel 7 years later, that was a huge flop, he totally would.
So I know there is, again, a sequel 7 years later, and I already pitched one sequel, but let's just pick some sequels.
All right. So let's fix this movie?
Sure.
All right.
Or just pitch sequels, which is what I originally said.
Okay. Arthur 2 on the Rocks was the original sequel.
Yep.
All right. So then Arthur 2 on the Rocks... What if they're actually on rocks? I have nothing.
Okay. Let's just fix the movie.
Yeah. All right. What if Arthur is played by Mike Tyson?
Arthur is played by Mike Tyson. George Foreman plays Liza Minnelli. And Conor McGregor plays the butler. And it's just an all punching.
Yeah, well, that's all. It's just all punching. So instead of being fall down drunk, his thing is that he punches people to death.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, accidentally punches a hooker to death. punches his aunt and uncle to death.
I mean, I'm not saying that's a thing Michael Tyson has done, but it is definitely a thing.
He has punched a hooker to death. Yeah. Yeah. And then, so every time they're like, oh no, you're out of control. You're punching people to death all the time. Like the scandal, you know?
And then he just punches them to death.
Yeah, exactly. Punches Susan's dad to death.
That's right.
Yeah. When he shows up. When he gets super drunk, like in the diner, he's just punching people to death. Yeah, waiters. Well, because he doesn't get drunk. He's just punching people to death.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just got anger management issues because he's Mike Tyson.
He's Mike Tyson. He bites their ears off.
Yeah, exactly. He's biting ears, punching people to death. And then at the end, still gets Holyfield.
Yeah. And then they live happily ever after.
Yeah. And then without gloves, he loses his gloves.
Yeah.
But then he gets them back.
He gets them back at the end.
Just like Arthur does.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He loses his glove, but then at the end, he gets into his limo, and there's that dude that's at every boxing match that just tapes up your hands and puts your gloves
on. Yeah. He's a corner guy. He like sits down and he puts Vaseline on his eyebrows. Yeah, exactly. He makes him spit.
It's like, I'm going to cut you now. It's like, I'm not even damn fine.
You're getting cut. And then he puts his gloves back on, wraps them all tight, and he's like, I got this, baby. I got this. And then punches fucking Holyfield to death.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's how the movie ends.
All right. That's how we fix this
movie. That is exactly how we fix this movie. I feel like, though, you know what? I'm going to tweak it a little bit. So he gets all taped up at the end. But then we fast forward 5 years. Him and Holyfield are there with a newborn baby. And they're like, oh, it's a great, like, happy family. And it's very progressive. It's two guys. And they're raising this child. Yeah. But obviously, they're loving to the child. So it's a great family situation, right? It's a great situation for that child to grow up in. And then he punches Holyfield to death. And then he punches the baby to death.
Yeah. All right.
Because he has not learned anything.
No. Again.
He just loves punching people to death.
It's his thing. Punching people to death is his thing. And then I also feel like Stallone should come in here.
Of course he should.
Yeah, Stallone should be.
I'd like to point out to
Stallone
the fans.
Stallone from Creed.
I'd like to point out to the fans, this wasn't me this time.
Yeah, no, that was me this time. Because he's already that guy in Creed.
Yeah, sure.
So maybe he's the guy that tapes him up at the
end.
Sure,
sure. Yeah. And then he has to give him the speech about how, like.
No, wait, no. Clearly, the butler.
Oh, Stallone's the butler?
Yeah, of course he's the butler.
Of course Stallone's the butler.
He's sick already, just like in Creed.
Just like in Creed. He insults people just like in Creed.
Just like in Creed, yeah. Gives him the big speech just like in Creed.
I mean, just watch Creed, I guess, is what I'm
saying. Yeah, actually. Let's just watch Creed.
Yeah.
Yeah. No matter what the movie we're talking about, just watch Creed.
I mean, watch Rocky.
Watch Rocky.
Yeah.
Creed's okay.
Creed's good.
It's pretty good.
It's just not as good as Rocky.
Not as good as Rocky or Rocky Balboa.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So anyways, that's the end of the show.
Yeah. I don't even know what we have next
week. I don't either. But join us then.
Yeah.
We'll talk about more funny shit and weird movies and, punch people to death, probably. I don't know. Stallone's probably going to be in there.
Also, keep up with our 5-minute episodes, how we fix it.
Please, please keep up and share those and just tell everybody.
Yeah, good 5 minutes, people.
They're 5 minutes.
You can do it.
They're 5 fucking goddamn minutes.
Tune in, like, follow, share.
Subscribe, all that crap. Whatever.
Comment.
Or don't. I don't know. Fuck you.
All right.
Anyways, I'm EG Sites.
I'm Francisco Andin.
Good night, I guess, and
good journey.
We love you.